Well, on behalf of Cross of Christ staff and leadership, I want to thank you for coming as you are tonight and being here with us on New Year's Eve. I'm humbled and blessed to get another opportunity to share the Word of God with you guys. It's been a little while. But before I do that, please join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to share in your Word. We thank you for 2024 and what it was, and our opportunity to gather together one last time as the body of Christ as we look forward to what's ahead. I pray that your word would stick on our minds and come into our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, good evening. I hope you've had a blessed holiday season so far. We're about to transition into a whole new year, and tonight is our chance to take a second to breathe. Tonight is a night of reflection. It's a time to unpack what 2024 was and look ahead to what 2025 might be. At the end of every year, there's two things that happen, right? We look behind to our past and we look ahead to our future. And when we look behind to our past every year, there's things that we hold on to. There's stuff that we carry with us. Every year, more and more things join us. These things are memories, and memories come with emotions. Happiness, joy, sadness, pain. The title of my message tonight is Baggage. We're going to talk about baggage, and I want to ask you, what baggage did you carry with you tonight? As the holiday season comes to a close, one of the groups that makes the biggest profit is airlines. Lots of people fly to go visit family and friends who live too far away to drive to. Does anybody have family or friends that's too far away to drive? And so, I'm not sure which airline you guys prefer to use, but my mom loves Southwest. And one of the reasons why she loves Southwest is because she has a travel card, so she can get up points and get discounted and even free flights. Another reason why people love Southwest and why a lot of people know about Southwest is because your bags fly free, right? Or at least your first two bags fly free. Now, why is that so appealing? Well, at this point in time, we're pretty used to carrying baggage with us when we travel. We don't really travel light anymore. At one point in time, maybe some years in the past, people used to travel lighter, but now we pack one, two, maybe even three suitcases to go anywhere. We like stuff, and I think we feel comforted when we bring stuff with us wherever we go. We can't leave home without our wallets, our phones, our clothes, and on it goes. Shouldn't leave home without your clothes, by the way, just... But we leave with things, right? Many things. There's a whole bunch of things that we cannot leave home without. It's not enough to get yourself somewhere, but now you have to get yourself and all your belongings with you too. Southwest allows your bag to weigh up to 50 pounds, and two bags fly free. Now, I'm no mathematician, but that's 100 pounds worth of baggage, right? And yet, every time that I've flown Southwest, without fail, I've seen somebody paying the extra fee for a third bag, as if 100 pounds is not enough to bring all the things that they need wherever they're going. So I want to ask you this evening, what baggage are you planning to carry with you into 2025? You probably already know where I'm going with this message, but emotionally, spiritually, what have you been carrying with you in 2024? And how much of it do you plan to carry with you in 2025? When you look into Scripture, you'll find example after example after example of people realizing that they can't carry on, pun intended, without letting go. You can't carry on without letting go. And I want to point us to a couple of passages in Scripture tonight that speak about baggage. The first one is in Acts chapter 27. This is where we find Paul as a prisoner. And he and his fellow prisoners are being transported from one location to another via ship. And what happens is a storm comes along the way. We're going to start reading in verse 13 of Acts chapter 27. Now, when the south wind blew gently, supposing they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called the northeaster struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. Running under the lee of a small island called Cauda, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. And then, fearing they would run aground on the Syrtis, they lowered the gear. And thus they were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Now, what are we seeing here? The ship's crew has to drop things that weigh the ship down in the midst of this storm. See, the goal is that the weight of the ship will not cause it to compete with the wind too much. And what I mean is, if the ship is too heavy, the wind and the ship will battle against one another. If the ship wins, it stays upright. But if the ship loses, it capsizes. So the goal is to make the ship as light as possible so the wind will just keep pushing it along. It'll be thrown around by the storm, but it might survive. Now we keep reading, moving on to verse 39. Now when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders. Then hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a reef, they ran the vessel aground. The bow stuck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. Paul and the crew on his ship let go of everything weighing them down, and that's how they made it through the storm. They had to dump their baggage. They even had to dump the boat and just jump off. So the first point I want you to recognize tonight about baggage is that in the midst of storms, baggage weighs you down and can cause you to sink. Now we turn to the book of 1 Samuel, where the topic of baggage is mentioned four times. And I want to point out a pattern in the text. I'm going to show you a couple of different verses in different locations in 1 Samuel to show you this pattern that we see. The first section is chapter 10, verse 22. And what you see in this section of 1 Samuel is that Samuel the prophet calls all the people together because they wanted a king. And they inquire of the Lord, is there still a man to come? And the Lord said, behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. Now that man was Saul, who would ultimately become the king. But what you notice is that the people had to put their baggage down to get together and solve this problem, this need that they had. Now if you continue on to chapter 17, you'll see in verse 22, a man named David. Now David, Saul is king at the time, and David is looking to join his brothers in the battle against the Philistines. But what you see that's interesting is it says, and David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage. So now you see that somebody in Saul's army actually has a position that's called keeper of the baggage. Somebody was left in charge of the baggage during the battle. Now we're going to skip to chapter 25, verse 13. This is where David is king, and they're now fighting against someone named Nabal in the wilderness. David tells his men to strap on their swords. They're getting ready to fight. And he has 600 soldiers. But you notice here it says about 400 men went up after David. And what did the other 200 do? They remained with the baggage. And then the final thing you'll see in chapter 30 at the bottom of the screen here, you see David and his men fought the Amalekites and they won. And the soldiers who went into the battle didn't want to share the spoils with the soldiers who stayed by the baggage. Now you see what David says is, who would listen to you in this matter? For as is his share who goes down into the battle, so his share shall be who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike. So what's the pattern that I want you to notice? The soldiers in Saul and David's army knew that they could not fight while carrying on any extra weight. They had to dump their baggage off. They even had to put somebody in charge of the baggage, because there's already things that you need to carry with you in battle. You need a sword, you need a helmet, you need armor. Any of that extra weight, those extra burdens, that would cause them to lose the battle. They knew they couldn't fight with those, so they left them. So I ask you this, what's weighing you down tonight? What's weighed you down this year? I really want us to reflect on these questions tonight. And I wanted to put up on the screen a couple of categories of emotional or spiritual baggage. Now, given the way that we started off the service, I also want to admit that I missed one. I think grief and loss is an important category that I can clearly see many of us tonight are carrying with us as well. But on top of that, we have unforgiveness, PTSD or unresolved trauma, maybe something that was done to you or that you witnessed happen that is very difficult, if not impossible, to forget about. And then there's just those nagging things that make us anxious or stress us out, that we worry about, things that we're fearful of. Now, I want to focus on unforgiveness for just a moment. The National University of Singapore over in Asia did a study on unforgiveness that really caught my attention. They put people into two different categories for this experiment. There's group A and there's group B. The people in group A wrote about a time in which somebody did something to them that they did not like, and they forgave them. The people in group B wrote about a time when somebody hurt them and they have not moved on. And they had them dwell on the emotions of those experiences for just a moment. Then they divided these two groups up evenly in age, gender, height, and weight. And they had a measurement of how high they could jump. And what they found was that the people in group A, regardless of age, gender, height, weight, they always jumped higher than people similar to them in group B. And what Professor Zhu Zhang, who was running the study, said was that a state of unforgiveness is like carrying a burden that victims bring with them when they navigate the physical world. Forgiveness can lighten this burden. Now, to take the study a step further, they took these same people from group A and group B, did the same exercise, wrote about the same time when they dealt with forgiveness or unforgiveness, and then they took them out to a nearby hill, and they wanted them to estimate its slope. Basically, they wanted to see if people who had forgiven somebody viewed the hill as less steep and easier to overcome than the people in group B who were dwelling on their unforgiveness. And unsurprisingly, the people in group A had a much more positive view of that hill. It was less steep and easier to get over than the people in group B. And what Professor Zhang wrote was that the benefits of forgiveness go beyond the constructive consequences that have been established in the psychological and health domains. Catch this. Our research shows that forgivers perceive a less daunting world and perform better on challenging physical tasks. Now, I know that healing and moving on can feel daunting, exhausting, maybe even impossible. But there is hope. For those of us who have yet to heal or are still healing from our past, hope is not lost. Hope is never lost. Now, I want you to hear some more quotes on this topic from a couple of popular Christian authors, because they echo what Professor Zhang's noticed, what she noticed, but through a Christ-centered lens, and I think that's so important. Many of you are probably familiar with Max Lucado, and he wrote a book called You'll Get Through This. And his insight into the burdens of our past was that he said, the weight of your past can feel like a heavy burden, but God's grace is sufficient to lift it. He invites you to lay down your heavy load and find rest in him. Lisa Terkerst, in her book, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way, wrote, unhealed trauma can feel like a heavy chain binding us to our past. But God's love is the key that unlocks our freedom and allows us to move forward. And finally, Sheila Walsh, in her book, Holding On When You Want to Let Go, said, "The heaviness of unhealed wounds can be overwhelming, but Jesus offers to carry that weight for us. He promises to heal our broken hearts and to give us peace." Now, hear how these quotes line up with Scripture. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you." And 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you." And finally, in our gospel reading for tonight, Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 11, he tells all who are weary, all who have heavy burdens, to come to him because he will give us rest. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This calling is urgent because you cannot run your race faithfully if you're being weighed down. Guilt and shame weighs us down. Is anybody here a runner or ever has been? Have you ever ran with a weighted vest on your shoulders? I have. Now, I have a good friend from college who's a Marine, and Marines, or at least this one, runs with weighted vests all the time. But Marines are conditioned to do so. If you try it right now, you might get hurt. Not only will you run slower, but you could actually suffer a serious injury. So the bottom line is this: if you try to run with too much weight, you won't be able to run well, and you'll quickly get exhausted. And that's a problem, because life is a race. It's described that way in Scripture a dozen times. And the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, says, "Lay aside every weight and every sin to run with endurance." So just like how there are some very strong men and women among us, like Marines, who are capable of running with weight, Jesus is like that for us. He's like our Marine, if you will. He can handle it. He can carry your weight for you. If you leave it to him and don't try to run with it yourself. And so I leave you with this question tonight: what hurt, what pain, what sin, what trauma are you still carrying with you? What burdens hung out with you in 2024? And might I suggest not inviting them to join you in 2025? Leave the past in the past, out with the old and in with the new. We can make this year all about new beginnings, all about healing. Hear the word of God one more time from our Old Testament reading this evening out of Isaiah, where God says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise." Aren't those words so comforting? Are you hurting tonight? Have you been hurt this year? Are you carrying burdens and baggage with you that you don't need anymore? Lay it at the foot of the cross. Now, for the record, the social worker in me won't let me finish this message without a disclaimer. This is not an attempt to brush depression aside or to pretend that PTSD is easy to leave behind or that the laying of our burdens is not a constant fight. It never ends. Some burdens have to be laid down and relayed down and re-relayed down again. Some burdens are always with us to a certain extent, like maybe a memory, something that you can't forget about. But I do raise to you this: it doesn't have to suffocate us. Our pain doesn't have to dictate how we live. We can move on in freedom with Christ. At the end of the day, we can never surrender these weights on our own, and that's an important piece to remember. That's the thing about our humanity. Our strength is limited. So not only are we not strong enough to carry our burdens, but we're not even strong enough to lay them down on our own. So we go to God in prayer through the Holy Spirit, and we ask Him to take away what no longer needs to be there. This new year, I pray you'll evaluate what you need to let go of, what's weighing you down, and take it to the Lord in prayer. If there's one New Year's resolution for us to make tonight, is to be consistent in our prayer life. So go to God and ask Him to lift your heavy burdens and exchange your shame and your guilt, your anger and unforgiveness for repentance, love, acceptance, and healing. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.